We're on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, the last few lines, the last 10 lines. We left off in the middle of a sentence. Okay. So we'll start again. Lamed Vav Amud Aleph towards the bottom, the last 10 lines.
Yeah, talking about not knowing where the Hargerizim is.
Yeah. Mr. Laufer mentioned that his wife has Yahrzeit today for her father. So we dedicate the learning L'zeich HaNishmas Rabbi Yamin Zeber Abar Yaleib Mr. Berger. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yehoshua. It says that they fulfilled the mitzvah that's described in the Chumash when they cross over the Yarden, they have to go to Hagrizma Harevel, the two mountains near each other. And the simple reading of the pasuk is they're 12 shvatim. The six shvatim had to go on top of Hagrizim, six shvatim had to go on top of Harevel. And the Chumash lists off which are the six shvatim on top of Hagrizim, which are the six shvatim on top of Harevel. And one of the 12 shvatim that's supposed to be on one of the two mountains, I forget really which one, is Shevet Levi. That's what it says. And then it says that the Kohanim and the Levim should be down on the ground. So the Gemara is going to work on that. Where were the Levim? Were the Levim on top of one of the two mountains? Were the Levim on the ground in the middle? What's going on? Okay, so the Gemara is going to work on that later. So the pasuk says half of Klal Yisrael was on top of Hagrizim. The Hachetzio and the other half was on top of Harevel. So why does it say with the Hey Hayidio? My Vehachetzio. That's what we left off in the middle of that discussion. Why does it say with the Hey Hayidio and the other half was on top of Harevel? What does that mean? Does it mean that it's the larger half or the smaller half? Or does it mean that the other half, the other six shvatim who are grouped together in some other place in Chumash, some other place in Tanakh? What is it referring to? So Rav Kahane is an Amoira. So he comes up with the original Chiddush. Omar Rav Kahane, Gederach Shachalukim Kan, just like over here in Hagrizim Harevel, it says in the Chumash, which six Shvatim Hagrizim, which one Harevel. So the same division of the 12 Shvatim into two groups of six and six appeared on the Avnei Ha'efod. The Kohen Gadol has to wear Shmoina Begadim all year long on Yom Kippur. He only wears Big Day Lovan for the Avoid the Lefnai Lefnim. And all year long, on Yom Kippur also, for the first and the third and the fifth Yunan Avoida, who wears the Big Day Zohov. So the Big Day Zohov is eight pieces of clothing, Shmoina Begadim. So one of them is an Ephod, and there were Shnei Kisvos or Ephod. There were two Avonim. There were two Avonim. So it says, Shisha Mishmoisim Alhoeven Echos, Veshmos Hashishon Osarim. You should have six names of the six shvatim engraved on this stone and six on the other stone. And the Chumash doesn't say what's the breakdown, which six were on this stone, which six were on the other stone. So Rav Kahane is an Amoira. So he says he gets the impression from the pasuk V'hachetzio, six shvatim are Hagrizim, six were Harevel, that says in Chumash, which six? So he gets the impression V'hachetzio, and the six who on Harevel, those are the six who are grouped together on one of the two Kisvos Eifo. It's the same half of the 12 Shvatim. The way they're divided in Avnei Eifo is over here. Freg di Gemara Meisvei. How can Rav Kahane say such a thing? He's making up from thin air. There are different opinions in the Tanoim. All the Tanoim over here, they all lived after the Churban Abai. So they never saw the Kohen Gadol wearing the Kisvos Eifo, they never saw the Avnei Eifo. So they're all trying to figure out what was the breakdown of the six names and the six names. So Frag the Gemara, there are two opinions in the Tanaim, and nobody says like Rav Kahane. So the Gemara says Tiyufta. Rav Kahane has no right to make up from thin air. If there are two versions in the Tanaim, and nobody says like Rav Kahane, so Mr. Tami, he's not right. But all of they did, but all of these Tanaim lived after the Churban Abayis. We have no historical record from the we don't have it written down anywhere, any tradition from the people who saw the Kisvos Eifo. We only have these two Tanoim and this Braisa, they were both after the Churban Abayis. So they both, each one had a different tradition, what the breakdown of the six names and the six names. So the Gemara says, Meisri, if a Gemara kasha, that none of the Tanoim say like Rav Kana, and we're going to assume that he's wrong, he's a Tiyufta. Then we're going to try to figure out, so why does it say V'hachetzio? Why does it say with the Hei Hayidiyo? Implying as if that these are the special six that are mentioned somewhere else in Chumash. Where else, what else, what's going on? So the Gemara says, we have a brisa. The ephod was a jacket. And on the jacket he had two avonim, one on the right side, one on the right shoulder, one on the left shoulder. Achas mikan v'achas mikan, one on the right side, one on the left side. U'shmeshne mosu shvotim kosev aleihem, shisha aleven zu, v'shisha aleven zu. That's what it says in Chumash Shenema. Shisha mishmos alam alo eben ha'echos, v'shmos ha'shisha nosarim, alo eben ha'shenis, kisoldo sum. So what does that mean, kisoldo sum? So it says, alo eben ha'shenis, on the Eben Ha'achas, we assume probably the right side. Shisha Mishmoisim Alo Eben Ha'achas doesn't say Kisoldo Sam. Shisham Alo Eben Hashenis Kisoldo Sam. The six names on the second list, on the second one, were Kisoldo Sam. The order that how they were born. The way, so we know how they were born. Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, we know. You look in Bereishis, it says what order they were born. Why does it say only Shnia Kisoldo Sam Velo Rishoni Kisoldo Sam? It says Aleven Hashenis Kisoldosam, on the second stone on the left side, the last six children. Yaakov Avinu had 12 children, so the next, for the purposes over here, Menashe Ephraim are counted as Yosef. Menashe Ephraim, Kiruvim Mishim and Yuli, they had the status of Shvatim, but on the Kisra Soefet it only said Yosef. And the same thing by the by Hagriz Maharevol, they weren't counted separately. Menashe Ephraim, Shevet Yosef is counted as one over there. So the Tana, the first Tana in the Brisa says that it would appear from the Pasuk, Alo Eben Hashenis Kisoldo Sam, all the 12 names were approximately in the order that they were born. The last six on this on the left side were mamish the way they were born, and the six on the right side were also in the order that they were born, with one exception. As a tradition that Yehuda comes first, because Yehuda was the Lo Yosu Shevet Yehuda. Shevet Yehuda is supposed to be the Malchus, supposed to come from Shevet Yehuda. So instead of having Reuben, Shimon, Levi, God, Yehuda, how does it go? Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Instead of Yehuda, the fourth. Instead of Yehuda being the fourth, so Yehuda was the first, and everything else is Kisoldos. So the second stone, all six are Kisoldosam, and the first stone, everybody but Yehuda. Instead of being number four, he's number one, and the other five are Kisoldos. That's how the first Tana says. Shnia kisoldosam, v'lo rishani kisoldosam, ipnei. What's the exception to the rule on the right stone? Because Yehuda mugdam. Because Yehuda takes the first spot. Before Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda comes first.
How did the Tana know that?
He had a tradition. It doesn't have a pasuk. He had a tradition. Historical tradition. The other Tana disagrees. The historical traditions over here are a little shaky. Because the other Tana thinks that it's not correct. Then the Tana says, "V'chamishim oisius hayu." Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda adds up to 50 letters. You spell them out 50 letters,
25
letters. Huh? 25 on each and stone. He says 25 on each stone. Zu. There are 25 letters on the right stone, 25 letters on the left stone. So Rashi tells you right away that the Gemara is going to ask Akasha, how do you come off to say 25, there are only 24. Gemara is going to ask on Amid Beis. Okay. We'll have to see. Normally, Binyamin is always spelled in Chumash with Chosar at the end. Binyamin, Beis Nun Yud, Mem Nun. Usually spelled Chosar Yud at the end. So Binyamin is spelled Chosar, and Zvulun is also, Zvulun is spelled with one Vav, never spelled with two Vavs in Chumash. So if he spells Zvulun with only one Vav, and Binyamin is always spelled Chosar, the second Yud is missing. So that's the Gemara's Kashi. You only have 24 letters. So the Gemara is going to give two suggestions. How do you fatten it up? How do you take 24 letters, make it into 25? So first, the Gemara suggests that there's a Pasuk in Tehillim, Eidus Behi Yosef Sama Betes Al Eretz Mitzrayim, that there was an occasion when they changed Yosef at Tzadik's name, they added on a Hay. So on the Avnei Ha'efo, the Gemara suggests maybe it's instead of saying Yosef, it said Yehosef. So it had an extra hay, so that makes it 25 instead of 24. Then the Gemara fragged Akasha. How can it be? But it says Kisol Dosim, and the word Kisol Dosim means like the names that the father Yankov Avinu gave them. He gave him the name Yosef when he was born. He didn't give him a name Yehosef. Eidus be Yosef Saman, but says Al Eretz Mitzrayim. Was going to say when that hay was added on. Something happened, something changed in Yosef's life that they added on a hay. Menashamam, they added on a hay. The Gemara is going to have two suggestions on Amid Beis. When did they change his name? When they added a hay? But at the time that he was born, his name was Yosef. So the maskana of the Gemara is it's not that you added the hay on the right Evan by Yehosef, but rather Binyamin here is spelled Molly. Aye. In all of Tanakh, Binyamin is always spelled missing the second. You also, the Gemara says, yeah, except for one place, when he was born. That the mother called him Benoni, Vaviv Karolo Binyamin. So when he was born, the father gave him a name Binyamin with a Molayut. And since it says Kisol Doisam, so the word Kisol Doisam has the connotation, the names that they were given when they were born, by the Bris. So by the Bris, Yaakov Avinu gave him a name, Binyamin, with a Yud, with both Yuds. The first Yud and the second Yud. That's how the Maskana of the Gemara is. That's how the Gemara comes to the Maskana. If you look on Amid Beis, it's about 20 lines down, and the line begins with the word Yosef. Yosef Hasifala Osachas. That's the Gemara's answer. The Gemara has only 24 letters. How do you say in the Braisa that there are 25 on the second stone in Taka, 25 letters? But on the first stone, there are only 24. So the first answer the Gemara gives is by the tiny letter base. So it says, Yosef Hasifala Osach Shenem Be'edis B'Yosef Soma. Then the Gemara says on the next line, no! But that name he was given later in life. He didn't have that name at the when he was born. And it says, Maskev L'Rab Nachma Yitzchak, it says, Kisol Doisam Be'inon. We required the names that they were given when they were born. And Yaakov Avinu gave him the name Yosef. Elo Zog de Gemara, the word, the name Binyamin. Throughout Tanakh, the name Binyamin is spelled Chasa Yud, the second Yud is missing. Except when Binyamin was born, Vaviv Karalo Binyamin, with two Yuds. So over here, that's the way they wrote it on the Kisva Sefer. So it's a Pella, this tiny letter base means to look in the Rambam that the Rambam paskins like that. So what did the Rambam paskin like? The suggestion that was rejected in the Gemara. See right away, it's a dead giveaway. There's a kasha on the Rambam. The Gemara gives a suggestion, the Gemara slugs it up, and they give the right answer. So when they give the right answer, the final conclusion of an answer, there's no tziyun in the Rambam. They have the tziyun base on the first line, which was rejected. So you look in the Ayin Mishpah, he tells you where the Rambam is, and he says, Ayin Shom the Kesef Mishnah. So it's a dead giveaway, the Kesef Mishnah has the kasha. He usually doesn't tell you to look in the Kesef Mishnah, only when there's something shver. Sometimes the Ayin Mishpah was the Ayin Magen Mishnah, Ayin Kesef Mishnah, that the Mefarshim asked the kasha. So there, that's the kasha that the Kesef Mishnah asked. The Rambam must have had some other marker. It's against, and then the whole Rambam, everything in the Rambam is against the whole Seder, we'll soon see. So again, so the first Tana claims that Kisol Dosa means in the order that they were born, but the Evan Hashenis Kisol Dosim, the second Evan, the sixth name, the last six children of Yaakov Avinu Take Kisol Dosim, and the first six children were approximately Kisol Dosim. Five of them are in order, and Yehuda, instead of being number four, is number one. That's what the first Tana claims. He has a historical tradition. Yehuda Mugdam, Yehuda was put first. And altogether, there are 50 letters. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, 50 letters. 25 and 25. Even Stephen. That's the first Tanakhama. Rab Chanina ben Gamliel disagrees with the Tanakhama. And he says, no, Rab Chanina ben Gamliel also lived, they all lived after the Churban Abayis. Lo kederach shachalukim kan, lo kederach shachalukim ba'avnei eifod. You look in the beginning of Chumash HaPkudim is Bamidbar. To take a census of the Jewish people. That's Pekudim is a census, to count up how many Jews there are.
Numbers.
That's why in English it's called Book of Numbers. So in the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar it says Moshe Rabbeinu should take the census of how many Jews there are, and he should have the representative from Rabbi Shevet helping him to take the census. So it gives a list of all of the Shvatim, gives a list of all the people with all the Shvatim there. So that's one listing. You have a list of all the 12 Shvatim in order. So he says the names, the six names and the six names were not Lokedach Shachalukim B'chum Shabkudim, not the 12 names in the order that they appear in the beginning of Bamidbar, that's one order. Huh? But rather, era el kedach shachalukim b'chumisheni. Chumisheni is Shemos. Chumisheni is Chumash Shemos. So in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, it says Eilu Shmos Bnei Yisrael Haboyim Mitzrayim. So it says all the Shvatim. Then it says VYosef Hayu B'Mitzrayim. Yosef already was there. So Yosef is last. Yosef was born before Binyamin, but he was already there from before. So it lists off all the 12 names. It lists off 11 names, totally different order from them. Not the order that they were born. Not the order that the names appear in the beginning of Bamidbar. A totally different order. So this, the second Tana claims that the six names and the six names from the right side and from the left side, the Shnei Kisva Su'efod, the Shnei Avnei Ho'efod, were in the order that the 12 names of the 12 Shvatim appear in the beginning of Chumash Mois, and Yosef is going to be last there. Because it says, V'Yosef Hoyah B'Mitzrayim. He already was in Mitzrayim. He's going to be last. Right. What is that order? So he tells you the kids what it is. B'nei Leo Kisidron, the first six names were all the children. That's the way it appears at the beginning of Chumash Mois. Has the six sons of Leah. And then, on the other stone, B'nei Rochel, Echad Mikan, Echad Mikan, Yosef is last, because it says the 11 names, and it says, Yosef Hoya B'Mitzrayim. Yosef is last, and Binyamin is first. Binyamin was the youngest one, he was born last, but that's the way it appears in the beginning of Chumash Mos. So the first name is Binyamin, and the last name is Yosef, and in between there are four names, those are the four names of the B'nei Hashvachas. But B'nei Hashvacha is B'yemtza, in between, sandwiched in between Binyamin on top of this Evan and Yosef on the bottom of that Evan is the B'nei Hashvachas. So it's totally not Kisol Doisam. It's not at all the order that they were born. Binyamin is on the top and Yosef is on the bottom. Everything is Kakai. It's not at all, not even an attempt. That the first Tana says everything was Kisol Doisam, the order that they were born, except for Yehuda. So it says, Aleben Hashenis Kisoldosim. Aleben Hashenis was completely the order they were born. In the first six, five out of the six were in order, and Yehuda was out of order. This Tana says, totally not Kisoldosim. So why does the Pasuk say, Elamani Mekan Kisoldosim? What does the word mean in the Chumash? That the names of the Shvatim appeared on the Kisva Su'efod Kisoldosim. Zakta, no, it doesn't mean the order that they were born. It means the names that they were given by the Bris when they were born. The names of the Shvatim appear on the two Avnei Ha'efod in accordance with the way Yaakov Avinu gave them the names, and not in accordance with the way Moshe Rabbeinu. What did Moshe Rabbeinu change the name? So the Gemara says it said Reuven and it didn't say Reuveni. It's a very strange Gemara. What's the Havamina? Why should it say? Yeah, okay, but the. Yeah, she whispered to her husband what name to give by the bris, you know? But he gave the name. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But this adds credence to the opinion that says the Binyamin came with Yud, because if it's listed in the way the father named him, then you have Yud from Binyamin, so that accounts for the 25.
Right, that's what the Gemara fears us. Right, this is what leads you to the Binyamin story. So the Gemara says the word Kisol Doisam, according to the second Tana, does not mean at all the order that they were born. It rather means in accordance with the names that they were given at birth. Why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say, Moshe Rabbeinu said Ruveni and Shimoni and Godi. That was in the context of the Pasuk, but he didn't change the name. Very schwer. What was the Havamina here? Why should there be a Havamina? You should write Ruveni. If you're writing Shmos HaShvatim, of course you write Ruveni. Very strange. The Gemara says it didn't say Ruveni Shimon Veloy Shimoni Don Veloy Hadoni God Veloy Hagod. Hey idea is not part of the name. The Yud at the end is also not part. Very, very strange. So Adkan, that's the Brice. So the Gemara says, what does Rav Kana say over here? Rav Kana says Kederach Zehachetzio, when they were standing Hagriz Maharevel, six Shvatim over here, six Shvatim over there, and it says in the Chumash the names of the six Shvatim and Hagrizim, names of the six Shvatim Maharevel, totally not like anything. That not like the breakdown at the beginning of Shmois, not like the breakdown at the beginning of Bamidbar, totally different order. So Rav Kana claims, Kedach Shachluk Mekan, Kachaluk Mabnei Haifa. So the Gemara says, Meisvei, how does he have the right to say that? It's not in accordance with either of the Tanoi. So the Gemara says, you're right to Yufta.
That seems to be more logical, because that's the only place where the show divided in 66. So once that's specific, so okay, where are the 6 and 6?
The other places they were not divided. Right. You're right. In Shmos and Bamidbar, but they're not divided. Yeah. So the Gemara considers it historically a Tuyufta. Tuyufta against Rav Kahana.
All the time would be chosen once they got the. If they did find out they milulim, they would be moda. They're not arguing halakhically because you have the Rambam passing. So it sounds like they would even argue, however it was originally done, that this is how it should be done.
It's machlokes, because how is it supposed to be? But if you'll have archaeological evidence, the Gemara will certainly accept that archaeological evidence.
You change the length of an amma and everything like that. Why couldn't you change with the amma and the
eifah? What do you mean, change the length of the amma?
You order and then the sachem. You know, you did from by switching by shani. Why not here? They never would do an eifah, but they would do the avoda.
We don't have any record that they changed it by switching by shani. We assume that the kisvah seifah always stayed the same. Whatever it was from day number one in the days of Aaron HaKohen, we assume that it never changed. And the Kodesh Lashem, the Gemara has a machlokes Satana in the beginning of Sukkah. And the Tzitz, did it say Kodesh Lashem on one line? Did it say Kodesh Lamed and Yud Kei Vav Kei above it on a different line? Machlokes Satana. So one Tana says, I was there in the Vatican and I saw the tzitz, and it's all on one line. So the Rambam paskins against that Tana. So the Kesem Mishnah is, how can he paskin against that Tana? They have archaeological evidence that that's what it is. So the Kesem Mishnah writes on the side of the Rambam, they had to make a different tzitz for every Kohen Gadol had to fit his forehead. They couldn't always use the same tzitz. So there must have been 100 tzitz, at least 50 tzitz, whatever. So it could be that the one that he saw was on one line. Could be that the other Tanoim disagreed and had other tzitzin. He didn't see all 50 tzitzin that they had from the Bais Rishon, from the Bais Sheni. The Rambam thing is supposed to be in two lines. I don't know.
It's all one line. How did the
Tzitzin
one would have been
good? I don't know. Either way would be good. I don't know.
But why do you see one line?
So the Kesem Mishnah says that that's not a proof, because they had to make a different tzitz for every Kohen Gadol that should fit his forehead. So he saw one tzitz, but it could be that there were many more tzitz and that was. I don't know. That's the shalom when you have archaeological evidence. You never know where you're holding.
I heard that tzitz was authentic in the first place.
Could also be. The Rishonim quote that they found tefillin in the kever of Yecheskel HaNovi in Eretz Yisrael, tefillin the Rabbeinu Tam. Oh, so they said it's a raya that from the days of Yecheskel HaNovi they were tefillin the Rabbeinu Tam. So they said maybe they were puzzled, maybe they were goiners then, because they were puzzled.
Yeah, he just found one pair, he had another pair also.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe he just found one pair, maybe he had two pairs.
Yeah.
But the answer is a strange answer, that different Kohen Gadols have different foreheads, so you can always make the tzitz a little bit smaller, a little bit larger. You don't have to change how many rows. You can make smaller.
No, how many rows, that's either right or wrong. It's supposed to either one line or two lines. But the Kesem Mishnah says that it's not sufficient archaeological evidence just because he found one tzitz. Could be that Bizman Abayis, there was an ongoing debate, and it could be that the rave of the Tzitzin were the way the Rambam describes in two different lines. Just like it's a Machlekes Hatanaim after the Churban Abayis, maybe this was an ongoing Machlekes Bizman Abayis also. That doesn't necessarily prove the point. That's what the Kesem Mishnah says.
How do you read the Tiyufta de Rav Kahana in Rashi?
Tiyufta de Rav Kahana, Tiyufta, how do you read in Rashi? Let's see. Is there any Rashi?
Yeah, there is.
Just the first line. None of the Tanaim, not the Tanakama, and not the second Tanaim. Nobody says that it's like the six Agriz Ma'arev. The other say the Agriz Ma'arev. Yeah, by Agriz Ma'arev says in Chumash that the breakdown is these six and these six. Shimon, Levi, Yehudi, Yisachar, Yosef, Binyamin, and Hagrizim, and Harev was Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali. And that's not like the Tanakhama, it's not like the second Tanakhama, totally not like anybody. So that's what they say. Rav Kahana is out of the question. He's disagreeing with all the Tanakh. It could be that he's right. We don't know. We have to have archaeological evidence. We don't know who's right. The Gemara assumes that for sure he's wrong.
Rabbi, does any mention anywhere why the Moshe Rabbeinu, the work members, Kodesh Baruch Hu,
have this particular one on Har Eibal and those on Har Gerizim? Is there any mafarshim mentioned why?
I'm sure someone talks about it. I'm not familiar. I don't know.
What did Makara do with Toldoza?
The first Tana thought Kisaldoisam has the meaning according to Rav Kahana. He'll have to, Rav Kahana has nothing to do with the way they were born, so he'll be forced into understanding Kisaldoisam means the names that they were given at birth, like the second Tana. Yeah, like the second Tana, Kisaldoisam means Kishem Shakur Lehem Avim when they were born. Yeah. Freg de Gemara, if you're going to reject what Rav Kahana said, Rav Kahana said the hachetzio, and the other half with the hey haidia. What's the other six? It lists off which six were here. Where they say, why is that hey haidia? Oh, these are the famous six. The six over here and the six over here corresponds to these six and these six. But once you say Rav Kahana is out of the running, he's wrong. Tiyufta the Rav Kahana said, what is the hey haidia supposed to imply? So the Gemara says what it means is that one group of six was much bigger than the other group. They were not approximately equal. The six Shvatim went on Hagrizim, outnumbered the six Shvatim who went on Harevel. That's what the Gemara says. Elamai b'hachetzia, why is that I have any idea? Tana the Brisa said, Chetzia Shumul Hagrizim. The six Shvatim who were Hagrizim were Merube. They were much bigger than the Chetzia Shal Harevel. Why? Because on Hagrizim, one of the six Shvatim who was supposed to be there was Shevet Levi. And half of Shevet Levi wasn't even there on Hagrizma. Half of Shevet Levi was down on the ground, in between. That's how it says. Mepnei, why was it Meruba? Because one of the Shvatim was missing half of the Shev. Neshe Levi Lamato. Freg de Gemara Fakert. If one of the six Shvatim, half of the Shevet was missing, so Hagrizim should be smaller group than Hareva. How could it be that they're the larger group? Adiram, Neshe Levi Lamato. Batsri Lahu. Should be fewer people on Hagrizim. Then on Harevel. So how do you say the Hachetzio and the Shvacha half and the smaller group was on Harevel?
Why did they take the numbers? In other words, we had a census. Well, each shaving was a half. If you take six, six hills, what
would that be? You do, yeah.
There's a lot of articles about that.
Yeah.
A lot of articles.
Incredible, huh?
The number of
articles. Yeah. So the Gemara says, no, you have to read the Brisa like this. Hachikoma. The Brisa should be corrected. The way it stands doesn't make sense. It should say like this. Afal pisha levi lamato, even though the six shvatim on Hagrizim, half of Shevet Levi wasn't even there, so only five and a half shvatim. Nonetheless, that group by far outnumbered the other group because Shevet Yosef was there on Hagrizim. And Shevet Yosef was very, they had a lot of babies. They had tremendously big families. And that's why the five and a half Shvatim on Hagrizim outnumbered the six Shvatim on Harevel.
What was Yehuda? Was there also
a big population? I don't know. So the Gemara brings out the fact that Shevet Yosef was very big. Shenema. Because we have a parsha in Yehoshua by Dabra b'nei Yosef is Yehoshua Leimar. When they divided up Eretz Yisrael, there's a big machlokes harishon when they divided Eretz, so that they divide into 12 equal chalokim. Every shevet got an equal size. One shevet was twice as populous as the other shevet. So all the shvatim got an equal share in Eretz Yisrael. Well, no, every shevet got in accordance with how what their population was. Yeah. That's the Pashup Shadla, Rav Tav Nachlosa. So Rashi, that's a machlokes in Yesh Noichlan. Machlokes Rashi and the Ramban Achumish. So Rashi insists, Rashi Achumish, and Rashi and the Gemara insist in a few places, the Rashbam on Yesh Noichlan. They insist that every Shevet got an equal share. Every Shevet got an equal share. And the Ramban Achumish disagrees. That's the.
Equal quantitatively?
Size and value. Size and value. Yeah, size and value, approximately, yeah. Okay, some places were more valuable than others. So the Gemara says in Yesh Noichlan that the Shevet who got a more valuable area had to pay off, its area was worth $10 million more than everybody else's, so they had to give $10 million to all the other Shvatim and divide it equally, that it should be even. But the shaila is the size of the area. So Rashi claims that they all got equal shares, and the other Rishonim disagree. No, the larger the population was, so the larger the area was. How does it say by the bracha of Yosef? B'chor shara hodolah v'kanu en kar b'hem ami minaga. No. Yeah. So Yosef was the b'chor. The b'chor was given to Yosef. It was supposed to be Reuven was supposed to be the b'chor. So Reuven sinned, so the b'chor was taken away from Reuven and was given to Yosef. So that's what the Briskerov has in his comments on Chumash. B'chor shoro, the b'chor vasa bashtan, the b'chor hodolo, so given an inyan from covered. He didn't get any more area. See, if you hold that Menashe and Ephraim are two different shvatim, so Menashe gets a whole chunk and Ephraim gets a whole chunk. So, but if you hold that each shevet gets according to how large their population is, so the fact that Yosef was divided into two shvatim is lamala v'lamarid. It depends how populous it is. So that's what the Biskarov suggests, that maybe according to Rashi, b'chor shoro, according to Rashi, no, Yosef was two shvatim, so he gets two chunks in Eretz Yisrael. But double portion. But according to the other Rishonim, everybody gets according to how large their population is. So the whole Mila being the B'chor was only, B'chor Shara was only Hodolo. So given an Indian for covered. Covered B'yalma didn't mean anything in dollars and cents. So this, the Pasha Pshat in this Gemara seems to imply, like Rashi, that each one of the Shvatim got an equal size. And even if your Shevet had twice as many people as another Shevet, you got the same size. So Shevet Yehuda was overpopulated. They had many, many children. So it says, "Vaydarbe bnei Yosef is Yeshua leimer." They came with a complaint to Yeshua ben Nun. Vadua nasatali nachal goyrel echod v'chevel echod. Why do you give me such a tiny little piece in Eretz Yisrael? I have so many more children than the other shvatim. I need a larger area. I'm Rav. I have so much such a big population. If you say the way the Ramban says on Chumash, that every Larav Tarba Nachlosav Lama Tabi Nachlosav, the Shevet that has a larger population gets a larger share. So what are they complaining about? They got in accordance with their population, like all the Shvatim got in accordance. So the Poshib Shat and Yeshua sounds like Rashi, that all the Shvatim got equal size, and Shevet Yosef is so populous, so they're complaining they can't squeeze into such a small area.
What does Chedor mean, Mutach Chedor?
Chelek. Yankeb Chedor Nachlosav. So he says, I only got one chevel echad, that's all. Vani am rav, I have such big families. Vayam alem Yeshua, if it's correct that you have so many children, you have such big families. Alelecha hayora. So what do you mean, alelecha hayora? What does it mean? So it sounds as if that there was a forest that was hefker, that didn't belong to any of the shvatim. So he says, so go grab that yard and have your families move over there. What do you mean? Where was there a forest that was hefker? They divided everything in Eretz Yisrael. This either belonged to Shevet Yisachar, Shevet Zvulun, Shevet Yehudah, Shevet Don, Shevet Binyamin. Where is there a yard that's hefker that he can give him a donation? Here, go take. So that's what the Gemara gives an interpretation. Doesn't mean that he's giving them another chunk in Eretz Yisrael. There is no more chunks to give away. Everything was divided already. What he meant to say was, that's the pasuk. So the Gemara gives an interpretation. So Yeshua ben Nun said to them, you have a lot of children.
It doesn't really mean it. I mean, as a melitza, it looked good. What did he tell them?
Little
ben Yosef to get. Hidden?
They should hide. Don't tell everybody. You told me I'm not going to give an ayin hara. Don't tell everybody else. Don't write it up in the newspapers. Don't tell anyone that you have so many children. Hide in order that an ayin hara shouldn't be shoylet on you. In other words, he didn't really solve the problem. They say, we don't have enough room. So the simple reading of the pasuk goes, okay, there's a hefke dike yar, so go grab that. So the Gemara understands there can't be. There is no hefke dike yar. Everything was divided. So the Gemara says he was giving him an eitzah. He didn't solve their problem. So that's what they responded to him. We don't have to worry. Omrelay. So the Bnei Yosef said back to Yeshua ben Nun, we're not worried about that. We need apartments. We're not worried about the Ein Hara. We're descendants from Yosef and Tzadik. Zara de Yosef la shalta be'ein abisha. I don't know. So that's what the Gemara says. They responded back, we don't have to worry about Ein Hara. I don't know. Dichsiv. They have quote two different psukim. Ben Paris says Ben Paris Aliyoyin. Yosef was above Ein Hara. Aliyoyin means Oliyoyin. The Ein Hara is not Shelet on him. The Shevet Yosef is above Ein Hara. Then the other Amora has a different pasuk. Amar Ababo Al Tikri Al Tihikore Aliyoyin Ela Oliyoyin. Oh, that's the same pasuk. Oliyoyin means they're above Ein Hara. And the next time. They did what? Don't know. Don Gur Aryeh Yizanek Min HaBashan. Yes, so the Sifrei comments on that pasuk. Don Gur Aryeh Yizanek Min HaBashan, that Shevet Reuven was so dead embarrassed that the Chet of Yeh, Biznus, took place in his Chelek. So they all ran away from that area, and they were mafka that area. Everybody ran away. So Shevet the Sifreya explains this. So Shevet Don saw that there's an area that Reuven was just mafka. So they said, we don't care about the fact that that's where this news happened with the Bnei Smar. So they went and they grabbed it. That's what the Sifrei interprets on that pasuk. Don Gur Ayez on Ekman Abashan. They ran and they grabbed the area that Shevet Reuven was mafka. But according to the original plan, there is no Hefker in Eretz. All of Eretz is always divided among the Shvatim. If one Shevet decides they want to dump a share, so it's up for grabs. It'll be, they can make an Hefker. But they can't say over here, when they came to complain to Yeshua, so what does it mean? He tells them, Alei Lecho HaYara, there is no Hefker Diki Yar.
And it doesn't go back to the Yovel? If they're Mafker?
Hefker is interesting. The Gemara has a Machlekes HaTanoim. In Chumash it says that a mechira you get back when it comes Yovel. What about a matona? Does a matona go back to Yovel? So that's a machlekes hatanoim in the Mishnayis in the end of Pcheris on Daf Nun. Where the matona kemecher, matona is lav kemecher. So we pass the matona is kemecher. So the shad is maybe that's only matona is kemecher. What if you mafke something and someone else was zeichem and a hefker? Do you get it back when it comes Yovel? So that was a machlekes Rab Chaim Moizer, Rab Yitzchak Chanan, I think. And a contemporary of his. It was never discussed until 100 years ago, until 130 years ago. That machlokes, Hashaila. The Gemara never discussed it. What's the din? If someone's mafker property in Eretz Yisrael, someone else zechem and a hefker, does it go back to Yovel? So that was machlokes during the lifetime of Rabbi Yitzchak Kohanim.
This on the tour of this makom and the tour of Menachem Yitzchak said with Alei Hayara that no one, everyone's living in plains. To cut down the forest, and then you can live on the mountains too. No one, when no one was thinking that you could live in a mountain, they thought you only have to live in the plain.
But who did it belong to? Who did the mountain?
It was their shame if they didn't think that they could. They didn't know you can live on a mountain.
Okay.
Down trees, you can live on a mountain too.
Okay. Pashup shot on the pasuk. Okay. He's not giving him an additional area. He's giving him an etzer what to do. So that's pshuta shel mikra. And the Gemara is giving an additional level of interpretation. He says, watch out for Ein Hara. And they told him, we're not worried about Ein Hara. So the first Amora says he's not worried about Ein Hara is based on the pasuk Aliyoyin Oliyoyin. The second one quotes a different pasuk that when Yaakov Avinu gave the brachas, he said Yidgal Arad Bekerav Haaretz. The Yidgal is Miloshen Dogim. Ma Dogim Shabayam Mai Mechasim Aleihem. So no Memela, no one sees the fish when they swim under the surface of the water. Ben Ein Shaletes Ben. They can't have an Ein Hara. Nobody sees them. Avzar Shal Yosef Ben Ein Shaletes Ben. A famous Gemara. Famous Gemara.
She was Mechaser Rachel from Esau.
That's why he was Zoicha. The Midrashim probably say like that. I think it must be a Medrash like that. Yeah. What is the whole lineage of Ein Hara? I remember we were learning Baba Basra in the Yeshiva. So in the first daf in Baba Basra, it says, Osel Estakel Bekom Osel Shal Chaveri. Not allowed to look at someone else's field. But everything is growing because you're going to give an Ein Hara. You're not allowed to give an Ein Hara. So one of the students asked Rav Soloveitchik, but the Rambam says there's no such thing as Shadim.
As what?
Shadim. So Rav Soloveitchik says, what does Shadim got to do with Ein Hara? There's no such thing as Shadim, but Ein Hara there is. Why is there no Ein Hara? The Gemara says that Shmuel was a doctor, and Shmuel says that 98% of the dead people die from Ein Hara. Only 2% of the people die from a real sickness. 98% of the people die from Ein Hara. What does it mean, Taka? What is an Ein Hara all about? An Ein Hara is probably like a tefillah, like an implicit tefillah. he got such a good shidduch, and his wife is so good looking, and he has such a parnasa, and he has such a beautiful home. He has nachas from his children. Everything goes his way, and that's not fair. I'm a bigger tzaddik than him, and I deserve all the things that he has.
So it's as if
the person is implicitly praying to Rabbi Shalom, that's not fair. You should punish him. He's a balaver. He doesn't deserve all of that happiness and all of the wealth and everything that he happens that he has in life. So the Gemara says, let's say I pray that a tzaddik should be punished. My prayers will not be answered. But Mistama, the other person did some averus. Mistama, everyone does some averus. So everyone will be punished for the averus that they do. But if I pray that he should be punished for his averus, that is not fair. So then Rashi comments on Chumash, I think it's on Parshas Mishpatim. It says, "Kol almana b'yosim loisa anun." You're not allowed to treat almana b'yisaimim improperly. Im onoy tanerisam shamoy ashmatza kosam ki tzarigoni. Something like that. The pasuk says, "I will listen to their prayers. If you'll mistreat almana b'yisaimim, I'll listen to their prayers." So what do you mean? If they mistreat the Almana Nisayim, they deserve to be punished without the Almana Nisayim, Shamoy Hashmat Zakosai. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, from the Mechilta, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been marli hipareya, he will hasten the punishment if someone is complaining about someone else. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hasten to give the punishment earlier than otherwise. Otherwise he would have punished the person anyway. The one who's mean to the Almana Nisayim, whoever does an Aver deserves a punishment. Either Boilam Azer, Boilam Abba is going to be punished. No Aver goes without being punished. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Memayr Lihipareya if someone is misspelled. So we assume that an Ein Hore is an implicit prayer. Rabbani Shalom, it's not fair. I'm much better than him. I'm a bigger tzaddik. I'm a bigger medakta gemitzus. I'm a bigger baal gemilas chasadim and so on. So it's not fair that you give him so much happiness and so much parnasa. And so on. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be memarili hipareya because someone was praying. So there is such a thing as Ein Hara. It's not magic. There is a logic behind it.
Is it magic of prayer? Someone thinks, how come he always has a new car? You know, something like that.
So what if he thinks? So what if he thinks? If he... So the question is, so why should that cause him to suffer? So if you assume that it's an implicit prayer, so then we have a source in Chumash. Shema Yishma Tzakaso Ki Tzadikoni Ki Chananoni Ki Chananoni.
Okay. Let's look if he does deserve it.
Okay. There is some logic behind it. It's not stam magic. We assume there is such a thing as an Ein Hara. So the Gemara says that those who know that they're from Shevet Yosef, so they don't have to worry about Ein Hara. And everybody else has to be worried about Ein Hara.
People say if you're worried about Ein Hara, it happened, you shouldn't get so involved in it. Is there logic behind that?
The Gemara says about Zugais. The Gemara in the end of Pesachim says you shouldn't do things with Zugais. Should either drink one cup of tea or three cups of tea or five cups of tea. Shouldn't drink two cups of tea or four or six. He should either be married to one wife, three wives, or five wives. He shouldn't marry two wives or four wives or six wives. Then the Gemara talks about abrakosis. He shouldn't drink four cups. Should either drink one cup, the same thing, one cup, three cups. The Gemara says, what about abrakosis? The Gemara has a whole discussion. That's why it's in the last parakim. The Gemara gives two answers. How can you have a takon abrakosis if zugas is an unhealthy thing? So Gemara says zugas, if you do things bezugas, so the shaydim will attack you, something like that. So the Gemara says, man de kapit kabdina, man de le kapit le kabdina. The shaydim only start up with those people who are nervous about them. People who don't care about the shaydim, so you don't have to worry. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, something psychological. So Rav Moshe Feinstein extends that to other things as well. So he talks about the Rav Yudah Chosid writes in his Tzavoah, that you shouldn't marry a girl who has the same name as your mother if it's Mishuloshim, though. He says, if your mother's Shviga's name was the same. If you have three generations in a row, this woman has a daughter-in-law with the same name, and she's going to take a daughter-in-law with the same name. So if it's Mishuloshim, then you have to be careful about it. So the Welt is Machma, and it's even not Mishuloshim. And nobody knows this Tavos Rabbi Yudah Chosid. He wasn't my father. He wasn't my ancestor. So my mechuyev to listen to tzavos Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. So it's a whole discussion in Nari Bihuda, the Achrayim have a whole, before the days of Nari Bihuda, a whole shaila. Was it Tzavah Rabbi Yehuda Chassid intended only for his descendants? Or was it intended for all of Klal Yisrael? So they write in the history books that the Vad Arba Rotzis, that was in the days of the Mashur, in the 1600s, so they had a meeting and they were the Rabbanim were discussing whether Tzavah Rabbi Yehuda Chassid is binding on all of Klal Yisrael or only on the descendants. So the Mashur got up, and he said, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid left the Tzavah. I'm a descendant from Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. He left the Tzavah. You should name your children not Shmuel and not Eliezer. And my name is Shmuel Eliezer. Masho's name. I'm a descendant, and the family doesn't follow the Tzavah of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Even the family doesn't follow. The rest of the world for sure doesn't have to follow. A lot of strange things in Tzavah of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid.
What did Moshe Feinstein say
about naming? So Moshe says about giving, about marrying a girl with the same name as your mother. Yeah. So he says, Mandele Kapit Loi Kapin. He had two sons in law with the name Moshe. He had Rav Moshe, she's going, had Lorach Yamitad, Rabbi Tenta. So he had, each one had a second name. Rabbi Tenta was Moshe David. Rabbi Shiz Gal was Moshe Leo. He had two names.
They're based. Isn't it the name of the Pasar and Kapit that you call your wife and you think you're calling your mother?
That's how people try to say to make sense out of it. Yeah, but the Tzavos Rabbi Yehuda Chassid doesn't say that. He says only Mishaloshim, three generations in a row. It's some kind of magic. I don't know.
The son don't call his mother. He called mother. He don't call his name.
No, because I've had good. That solves the whole problem. Yeah.
But Zugas is not Mishaloshim.
Zugas is not. He's not a
Havarat. Zugas. Because the Rambam left out Zugas. The Rambam left it out. So the Shulchan Aruch. No. Shulchan Aruch left it out. Because the Shulchan Aruch is basically based on the Rambam. Yeah.
So what's the shade then?
The Gemara says if you do things bezugas, you do 2, 4, 6, 8. If you do things in even numbers instead of in odd numbers, the Gemara says then the shade then will start up with you.
No, so you're saying about that somebody, a student asked Russell Levation about.
Right, so yes, the Rambam says no such thing as shade. How can the Gemara talk about Ayin Hara? So Russell Levation said, what's the connection? The Rambam says no such thing as shade, but Ayin Hara there is. And her apparently is some logical thing that does make sense. They open up his record and they start, there's going to be a new Gezar Din. They'll reconsider. Maybe he doesn't deserve this happiness if people are complaining, so they'll reconsider. Apparently there is some logic behind
it.
Okay.
Does it mean one today and one tomorrow? Are the other cases spread out throughout the whole meal? Never two together.
But Igmar raises that as an issue. You made up in advance that you're going to drink four cups of wine tonight. So that's the Igmar's kasha. How can the Chachamim make a takana? No, this is not Heimamur. This is a tradition that this is a sakana. So how do they have the right to make a takana that may lead to a sakana? That's the Gemara is worrying about that. So the Rambam claims that the whole thing of Zugas is all baloney, and just that the people were superstitious and they were nervous about it. So the Gemara's kasha was, why did the rabbis make a takana that's going to rub people the wrong way? Ah, the rabbi should tell the people they shouldn't be worried about Zugas. The Rambam has a few Gemaras like that. The Rambam says about Katlanis also. Katlanis also. The Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim, if a woman lost two husbands, she was married and the husband died, second husband also died. So do you say you're not allowed to, no one should marry that woman because the third husband may die also? Or do you say only if it happened three times? How many times does a strange event have to repeat itself that it should be considered latest hasafik that there's a connection over here? So whole machlokes in the Gemara, whether two times or three times. Rama machtavek the ganze Gemara. He says in the Tshuva, the Kesef Mishnah quotes the Tshuva's Rambam, that he had it from the Rimagash, from his father's Rebbe. Rimagash said the whole Zugas is all baloney, and the Gemara is just talking for those people who are nervous about it. And he says many times he was Masada Kiddushin for couples, and it was Katlanis, and no one worried about it, and it was L'Rach Yamim Mishanim Tavis. There's no problem. So on Shulchan Aruch, they're not sure how to deal with the Katlanis story.
The Dandot Kaisis of Pesach was not two, it was four. Two and two. I mean, you cannot multiply the two the zugas.
The Gemara says you should do either 1, 3, 5, or 7. You shouldn't do 2, 4, 6, 8.
Yep, but it didn't. Oh, you just said two, and two later, and another two later.
So that two teiknesh, two and two is four. So that
multiple of two is also not good.
Yeah, the Gemara says you should either have one wife, three wives, or five wives.
About two wives.
Same thing. The same
about
Gemara.
The
Gemara says you should have one wife, three wives. You shouldn't have two wives. You shouldn't have four wives. Okay. So you see that Yankov wasn't worried about this or this. Yeah. Yeah. There's some things in the Gemara. There's some things in Allah that are magic. Vasa b'chalav is achayk. Paradum is achayk. We have dinim in the Torah that are achayk. Then you have other things. They're not magic. It's based on logic. The people make too much of the Torah into magic. They make everything into achayk. So we don't know how to deal with this, with the zugas and with these things. I don't know. Anyway, so the Gemara says there is such a thing as ayin hara, and Yehoshua ben Nun gave them this recommendation. They should hide from the public, and ayin hara should not be charlatan. Fine. Then the Gemara fact takash on the loshon abraisa. The Braisa says that there were 50 oisiyos in the two avonim avnei ha'efod, 25 oisiyos from these six names, 25 oisiyos from the others. The Gemara says the second Evan Hashen is the 25 letters stimmt. There were 25 letters, but the Shaila on the according to that Tana, the last six names were in the order that they were born. So if you add up all the letters, that's Taka 25. Rashi tells you what the Shisha. Rashi tells you which are the six, the last six. But the first six, if you spell Zvulun missing the second Vav, and you spell Binyamin missing the second Vav, and Yosef is Yosef, Yud Vav Tamapei, it's only 24. That's the Gemara's Kasha. Hani Chamishim Oisiyos. Hamishim Naki Choda Havion. It's 50 minus 1. It's only 49 Oisiyos. How does he come off to say that there are 50? So the first suggestion the Gemara gives is that Yosef was Sifalo Asachas. His name was changed and they added on Yehoisef. How do you know? Shenema. Edis Vyesa Sama Vatesa Leretz Mitzrayim.
Of him is the Kasha. Whose Kasha is it?
Then Gemara asked on the Braisa. The first, the Tanakhama says that the 12 names were all Kisaldoisam. The second Adam were the last six children that Yaakov Avinu had in the order they were born. And the first six, five of the six were in order except for Yehuda. Yehuda should have been the fourth. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. So Yehuda is first because he's the milk. And all the other five names are in order. So according to that Tana, that everything is literally Kisoldosim, the way they were born. And he says that there were 50 letters altogether, 25 letters on this Evan, 25 letters on that Evan. So Gemara says, if you add up all the letters, the way Zvulun is spelled with it missing the second Yud, Binyamin is spelled missing the second Yud, and Yosef is only Yud Vav Samach Pei, so it's only 24 letters. So the Gemara answers, no, on this occasion for the Avne Kisva Sa'efod, Hosifalo Isachas, there was a time then in Yosef's life, the Gemara is going to say when it happened. There are two versions in the Gemara. So Yosef, they added on a letter to his name. So that's the way it was written on the Kisva Seif. Trek Markasha, how can you say that? Maskalar Nachma Yitzchak, what do you mean? Obisustate Kisaldosim Binon. Don't you need Kisaldosim, the names that they were given when they were born? And by the Bris, Yaakov Avinu gave him a name Yosef. He didn't give Yehoisef. Yehoisef was later, but Seisal Eretz Mitzrayim. His name was changed. Ela Zagdi Gemara, no. The correct answer is not that the added letter was the Hey of Yehoisef. Kaltar Kula Binyamin Ksiv missing the second Yud. Bahacha Binyamin Shalem, the way Yaakov Avinu gave the name by the Bris, as it says, the mother called him Ben Oni, Vyaviv Karalo, Binyamin with two Yuds. So this is the Shvera Rambam, that's what the Kesh Mishnah asked. That the Rambam adopts the first answer of the Gemara. And the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara says they didn't write Yehoisef. Then the Rambam has everything in Gansim different. The Rambam says Kisaldosa means you go in order. Reuven on this stone, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, and Gansan not, and Gansan not. So the Kesh Mishnah tries to press it into the Gemara. He says that's how the Rambam understood the second Tana. There must be some other source. The Pashtus that the Rambam doesn't fit into the Gemara. Must be some other Midrashim that the Rambam got it from. Anyway, we need we have to discover the big Dekunas. So we'll find out what the correct order is. Okay. Then the Gemara discusses when was his name changed to Yehoisef. What happened when he was in Eretz Yisrael? Eid is B'Yosef Sama, but Seisal Eretz Yisrael. What did he do that his name was changed? So the Gemara has two versions. Amar Rav Chana bar Bizda, Amar Rav Shimon Chaside, Yosef she kiddush Hashem Shemayim b'seisa. He made a kiddush Hashem, but nobody was there. When Eishes Potiphar wanted to be mezana with him, Eini Shama Abai, so he ran out. So he made a kiddush Hashem b'seisa. So on that occasion, Osif lo esachis mishmo shal Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Shem Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei, so the two hays. So they added on a hay from the name of the Rabbanu Shel Olam into the name of Yosef.
Who added the hay?
In Hashemayim. I don't know. Min Hashemayim. They told him they're adding a hay to represent the fact that he made a kiddush em shemayim bitzina, not b'ferhesia. Yehuda, she kiddush em shemayim b'ferhesia on some other occasion. Shevet Yehuda. He was going to say Shevet Yehuda did a kiddush Hashem b'ferhesia. So Yud Kei Vav Kei is there in the name Yehuda. You just have an extra dalet. Yud Kei Vav Kei spells Yehuda. You just add a dalet. So Nikra Kuloi. So the Gemara is going to ask, what was the Kiddush Shem Shemayim B'tzina B'seisa that Yosef did, and what was the Kiddush Shem Shemayim B'ferhesia that Binyamin that Yehuda did? So Yehuda, the Gemara is going to say two lines from the bottom. Yehuda, Mayhi. So the Gemara is going to say not Yehuda personally, the son of Yehuda ben Yaakov Avinu, Shevet Yehuda. Then when they were standing in front of Yamsuf. And the Shaila is where they're going to go. The Mitzrayim are chasing after them. In front of them is a Yamsa. Where they're going to go? So the Baruch Shalom says, tell them they should go into the Yamsa and it's going to split. So the Gemara says, there was a Shaila who's going to, they were all afraid to go. So Yehuda, Hoysa Yehuda the culture, Shevet Yehuda ran. And first they had Emunah. They believed the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. They were not afraid. And that was Kiddush Shem Shamayim Bifar Hesu.
The Gemara to say that as opposed to Yehuda himself as
Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't know. So the Gemara says it goes on Shevet Yehuda. The Gemara says.
Didn't they
have Yehuda?
Yehuda was born that way.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it says.
We'll have to see the Gemara. Gemara has two versions. What was going on? Who was the first one to jump into Yamsu? So the second. The first version has it that Binyamin jumped in first, based on a pasuk in Tilim. And the second Tana says, no, Shevet Yehuda jumped in first. So this Yehuda Mayhi, this Bryce is going with the second Shita that Shevet Yehuda jumped in first. So the Kiddush Shem Shemayim Berab. The Shaila is, when was Yosef? When was the hay added to Yosef's name? So the first version the Gemara gives is, because Kiddush Shem Shemayim B'Seser, that was the Esek with Eishes Patifar. Then the Gemara is going to give a different version. Other Tanaim have a different version when the hay, it's like when you get a PhD, so they add on a couple of letters after your name. So when they wanted to appoint Yosef HaTzadik as the Prime Minister of Egypt, he had no degrees. So they said, how can you appoint him? He's an ignorant slave. So the Malach had to teach him all the Shivim Lashon, and they added on MA, PhD, whatever, all the titles. So that's the hay. They added on the hay, and then he excelled in all the Chachmas Olam, and it was right to be the Prime Minister. That's the other version the Gemara gives. On what occasion it was an Eretz Mitzrayim? Eretz Mitzrayim. On what occasion was the hay added? Because he was careful not to violate Lysinov, the Deishas Patifar, because he succeeded in mastering all the Chachmas Olam when the Malach taught him the Shivim Lashon. So first the Gemara is going with the version that the hay was because it's Kiddush Shem Shemayim Betzinah. So the Gemara starts commenting on that story. Yosef Mayhi, what's the story with Yosef? It's Kiddush Shem Shemayim Betzinah. Dichsi, Bahika Yaymazet, one fine day, Vayoba Habaisa Lassus Malachtoi, Yosef Hatzari came home in order to do his work, Malachtoi. What do you mean, Malachtoi? Mean to fool around with Deishas Patifar? That's Malachtoi. Or Malachtoi means Erlich Malachtoi, to do his work. So that's going to be a Machlekes. So Rabbi Yechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Shmuel lived in Bavel. They were all Talmidim of Rabbi Yudah Nasi, but Rabbi Shmuel moved to Bavel. So the many years they weren't in contact. Om Rabbi Yechanan Malam Shishneim Ledar Ver Niskavnu.
So Shneim.
She, Deishas Patifar, she for sure, was interested in being Mezana. And Yosef also, Lassus Malachta means he wanted to have an affair with Eishes Patifar, and the last minute he realized that you're not allowed to. So that's Rabbi Yechanan claims like that he originally intended to do an Avera, and then later on he held himself back. Rabbi Shmuel had a machlekes about this. Chadam, Lassus Malachta Mamish, no, Elach. He went home in order to do his work. He was a bookkeeper, whatever he was in charge of. And Chadama, the other one says like Rabbi Yechanan, Lasus Tzarachav Nichnas, to be Mezana with her. The second Amar says like Rabbi Yechanan, he planned to be Mezana. Ve'enish me'an Shabbai Shom Babais, and there was nobody there. Frek the Gemara, this Potiphar must have lived in a mansion. There was nobody there. How can it be? He must have had Mesharsim and Yotzim Mesharsim. Epshe Bais Gorm Tebesu Shalosa Rosh and Potiphar's home. Lo'ye Bo'ish. There are no maids, no servants, nobody there. How can it be? It's not Mistaber. And for the Gemara, Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, there's a Braisa that say that that day was a religious holiday for the Avodah Zorah. Us Hayom Yom Chagam Hayo. It was a holiday. Ba'ochu Kulam Beis Avodah Zorah Shalem. They all went to the church. V'hi Omer, Neshes Potiphar said, Hi Omer Lahem, Choy Lahi. She said she doesn't feel well. What did she have in mind? Omer, she thought to herself, Ein Liyom, Yosef didn't go to the church. Yosef is home. All the other maids and servants, everybody went to church. So she's going to go home. This is the best time. Nobody's home. She should be able to be mezana. So the pasuk continues. And then the last minute he runs out. What happened? What changed? If you say that ledvar aver in this cabin, then he changed his mind. Or even if you say lasas malachtoi. What prevented him from sinning? Especially if he felt that he intended originally to sin. So what came up that prevented him from sinning? So the Gemara, Be'osa Shoa, at that time, Bosa Diukna Shaloviv, he saw the image of his father, V'niras Alo Bachalon. Looking at the window of the room, he had the impression as if his father was there talking to him and waving his finger, Amaloi, Yosef! I'm warning you, you better not sin. All the names of the 11 Shvatim are going to be on the Ephod. You're going to be the 12th one. Your name is also going to appear. You're going to be great. Do you want to lose that opportunity? People think that by doing Averis, they have Hanoi and they gain so much. You lose more than you gain. The Hanoi is insignificant in comparison to what you're going to lose. So that's what Yaakov Avinu is warning him. With Sanchez, this is what you want. For a little Hanoah Salam Azeh, you're going to lose your chance of having your name engraved on the Kisra Sefer. Shemach Hashim Chemi Benem. V'tikor, you should be known, you should go down in history as the Roya Zainas, the one who hangs out with the prostitutes. Tichsiv, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Roya Zainas, Ya'abed Hain. One who hangs out with prostitutes will lose all of his money, has to pay the Zainah. So you're going to lose your good name, your good reputation. You were known as Yosef HaTzadik. Now you're going to be Mezana with the Eishes Potiphar. You're going to lose out everything. Miyad, immediately he realized that he shouldn't sin. Vatosha Beis and Kashto. So Tosis here has a discussion. Where in the world did they see any remnants in the Pasuk? The Nero Salo, the Mus, the Yukno, Bahalom. So that's the second Tosis from the top. So they quote Rav Moshe HaDarshan. We have a lot of... I think the whole Bamidbar Rabbah, Rashi always quotes things from Rav Moshe HaDarshan, and by us it's in Bamidbar Rabbah. Obviously Bamidbar Rabbah, Rav Moshe HaDarshan was in the days of the Rishonim. I remember Rav Moshe HaDarshan was the smug, the author of the smug. He used to travel around from one place to the other. That was after the days of Rashi. Rashi and Chumash quotes Rav Moshe HaDarshan, so they say that was added into the Rashi. The smug was way later. The Smug writes in the introduction to his sefer, he used to travel around Europe from town to town to encourage people to wear talis and tefillin every day. He says they only used to wear talis on Shabbos and Yom Tov. They didn't have time. They had to work for a living. They didn't have time to put on a talis every day. So he said to them, "You mevaza the malbush of the Rabbanu Shel Olam, because we have in Daniel. He has a vision of the Rabbanu Shel Olam as an old man with long white hair, wearing." Sari kitlag chiver, his hair was like snow, white as snow. Levushi kitlag chiver, I forgot already. The Rabbanu Shalom in his vision is wearing a white garment. So the Mekubalim, the Mishnah Berurah quotes part of this, the Mekubalim say, Levushi kitlag chiver, he was wearing a talus. So that's why the Ramo recommends, the Ramo says the meaning is that you wear a white talus. Because in the vision that Daniel had, he saw the Rabbanu Shalom wearing a white talus. Some people wear.
He didn't see Kielin Daniel in the vision.
I don't think so. I think he just saw Talis. How to say? Sayre Kamar Noko. The hair, the Rebbe Shalom was an old man. His hair was white like tzemer, kamar noka, like clean wool, and levushi kitlak chiver, and his malbush was white like snow, kitlak chiver, white like snow. So that's what the smug writes. He used to go around Europe and darshan. People should wear talesim every day, not just on Shabbos and Yontif. The mevazeh, the malbush of the Rebbeinu Shlom. Then a lot of people didn't want to wear tefillin because the Gemara has a din. You're only allowed to wear tefillin if you have a gufnaki like Elisha Balaknafai. So everyone said with humility, we don't have such a gufnaki. Gufnaki means physically naki, and your mind shouldn't be thinking about the improper thoughts. You should have a clean mind. So they said they're afraid that they have hirurim roim, and the people didn't want to wear tefillin. So he encouraged them. He went around traveling from city to city, encouraging people to wear talis and tefillin. So he's the one who's known as Rav Moshe HaDarshan. He was after the days of Rashi. He was one of the Bali HaTesus. So that's what they say. When Rashi HaChumash quotes Rav Moshe HaDarshan, that was added on by someone later. That wasn't, Rashi didn't have anything for Rav Moshe HaDarshan. The Mishnah Berurah says we have the stripes, the black stripes on the tail. Some have blue stripes. They quote the Levush, that's a Zecha L'Tcheles. When they had real tchelas, so they didn't need any stripes. We don't, for many people, don't have tchelas, many generations. We didn't have tchelas, so they made a zecher l'tchelas. So some made the zecher l'tchelas by having black stripes, and some made the zecher l'tchelas by having blue stripes, because that's a shaila, what color is tchelas supposed to be? The Gemara says, tchelas d'amol rakia. The rakia at midnight, or the rakia in the middle of the day? So Rashi and Chumash writes, d'amol rakia at midnight, because tchelas... That's where he quotes Rav Moshe HaDarshan. So Rashi quotes that Tcheles is Miloshen Tichlo, death. That Tcheles is the color of the sky at midnight, reminiscent of Makkas Becharis that occurred at midnight. And the Rambam writes, not so. The Rambam writes, it's the color of the sky in the afternoon. A nice blue color, light blue. Rashi says, it's such a dark blue, it looks came out like black. So that's the Tumen Hogim, where you have black stripes, so you have bluish stripes. But if you have tchelis, you don't need any stripes. I don't know. I forgot already. The smug. Don't know. A lot of things, that a few things that Rashi quotes from Moshe HaDarshan, we have in Bamidbar Rabbah. So obviously Bamidbar Rabbah, it was not from the Amoraim. It was written in the days of the Rishonim. Bereishis Rabbah is supposed to be the oldest. Bereishis Rabbah is supposed to be from the days of the Amoraim. But the other Midrashim Rabbah are from later periods. They had other Midrashim that they took from, and some they composed, some they made up themselves. I think so. So that's not the same city. Kutzi, I don't know. So Tesis quotes this from Rav Moshe HaDarshan. Where is the mocker that they get the Musdiyut and Nirasalo Bachalon? So he says they got it from the Pasuk, Eini Shom Me'anshe Habayis. There was somebody there, but he wasn't from Anshe Habayis. Who was there? Someone who totally lived in a different Medina. The father lived in Eretz Yisrael. This was in Egypt. Eini Shom Me'anshe Habayis. Someone far away from the members of the household was there, and that was the father. Young man, where did you get the chalon? Where did you get the idea? The musdiyuk nearest halo b'chalon. So he says maybe because since it says ain't ishma shabai some baboyis, babayis not, but b'chalon yes. A diuk from the psukim, a loshim from the psukim.
That is a posuk of Elimelech that was looking through a window for Yitzchok, and that was also an Indian of Obele, and it was also through a chalon.
Mm-hmm. Similarity. Could be there's a connection. When Rav Soloveitchik printed Isha Halacha after his father passed away in 1941, so he delivered a hesped, and then he wrote it up. So in the hesped begins, the Musdiyukna Shalav Nirasalo Bachalon. It means he's writing about his father. He's giving a description of what his father was like. His father was an Isha Halacha. He describes what a scientist is like and what a religious person is like, and a Talmid Chacham who's in learning. Ish Halacha is a combination, a little like an Ish Hadas and a little bit like an Ish Hadas. So someone published the whole essay. What aver was Rabbi Soloveitchik about to do that he held back from? I remember soon after he passed away, so Professor Schatz was saying Divrei Hasbid. So he's making a joke out of the whole thing. He said, a professor published the whole essay. The most yukna they thought Rabbi Soloveitchik was saying, this is what held him back from doing another. He's just saying, he's describing the most yukna shalaviv. He's giving a description. It was what his father was like. The Melitza in the Gemara, in the context of the Gemara, he was about to sin, and the most yukna prevented him from sinning.
I think the Rashi wants to call the measures that the Zachiyim to make it the most
children. Yeah. Everyone should always have a demus diukin to look up to, either a rebbe or a parent or a grandparent or someone, to strive to be masa yagiyu maisa le maisa yavoisai. That's how the Seder Eliyahu Rabba has that lashon, I think. One of the midrashim has that. I think it's the Seder Eliyahu Rabba. Every person should say masa yagiyu maisa le maisa yavoisai. The person should always have a demus diukin in front of his eyes and try to attain some reasonable level. You can't have the bus yukn that's way beyond you. That's we're not going to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's too much. But to have what my grandfather looked like, what my father looked like, and strive to live like such a tzaddik. So the Gemara tells the whole story that he was about to sin, and the bus yukn shalav nirasalo, and then he realized this is ridiculous. He's going to sin and he's going to lose his whole reputation. Roy Zonis Yabit Hon. Rashi says the hon over here, the wealth, is the shame tov. His good reputation will be lost now. Miyad, immediately, he held himself back from sinning. Matosha be'esan kashto. What is matosha be'esan kashto? So Rashi explains that we have a loshen when a man does tashmish. So the Gemara has a loshen that the shichvazera sometimes is yorik echetz, shoots out like an arrow. So the eber hazachrus can be referred to as a keshes. That's like the bow that shoots the arrow. So he was able to control his yetzahara, and he didn't sin. Tosha beis an kashto. Amar Rabbi Yechem, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Sheshava kashto leisona. His eva hazachrus calmed down. He was no longer in a state of kishui, and he controlled his yetzahara. And what did he do? Vayafozu zroye yodov. What does it mean? Vayafozu. He stretched out the two arms of his hand. What did he do that for? So Rashi explains, in order, the Gemara continues, Noatz Yoda Bikarka, he put his hands on the ground like this, and he shifted his, how does Rashi say? Noatz Yoda Bikarka Benismach Alem, and he was supporting his whole weight on his hands, Kedeshi Yis Yaser, in order that he should be in pain from leaning in such an uncomfortable position, the Tareg Bitsara V'Yavatek Ef Yitzruk. In order to control his Yetzirah, so he put himself in a very uncomfortable position, and he had to worry about the way he was balancing himself. So this is what prevented him from sinning. So the Gemara has a strange comment, that on that occasion, when his 10 fingers were resting on the ground, he was supporting all of his weight to divert his attention from sinning, to put himself in this uncomfortable position. So the Gemara has a lashon, v'yotzeh shichlazarai mibein tziporne yodov. So Sheikh Lazar came out from the 10 fingers. Is it to be taken literally? What does it mean? There's no place for Sheikh Lazar to come out from the fingers. So this to be taken literally, it means some kind of a miracle occurred. If it's not to be taken literally, it just means that it prevented him from the Sheikh Lazar coming out from the place that it would normally come out from. So the pasuk says, "Midei Avir Yaakov." What does that mean? "Nigorim lo sheichokek alav neho eifod." Because what do you get? Avnei Eifod. The next phrase in the pasuk: "Mishem Roya Evan Yisrael." Because of the fact that Yosef controlled his desire by Yafoza's Roya Yodov, he held back his desire by putting himself in this uncomfortable position by leaning on the ground, suspending his body, balancing his body on his 10 fingers. So that's why he was Zeiche Mishem Roya Evan Yisrael. Instead of being a Roya Zainas Yabed Hain, so he was a Roya Eben Yisrael. He took care of the Jewish people when they were there in Egypt all the time, and he was Zeicha to have his name engraved on the Avonim, on the Kisvas Leifet, Eben Yisrael. So this was all in the schus of the Musta Yukten Shal Aviv. That's what the pasuk says. Midei Avir Yankev Migarm Lo Sheichokek Alav Nehaifod Avir Yankev, the chizuk that his father, the image of his father, gave him, that's what prevented him from sinning. And instead of being a roya zaynos, then he was zochem and asa a roya for klal Yisrael. Shenem a roya sol hazina noy katzan Yosef. That Yosef atzadik was a leader in the Jewish people. So now the Gemara has a strange brisa. We have psukim and chumash that seem to indicate that Yosef was the favorite son of Yankov Avinu, that we know from the chumash. He made him the ksenus pasim, and the pasuk says Ela told us Yankov Yosef. What does it mean? Ela told us Yankov Yosef. Yankov had a lot of children. No, the one who was mamish, the spitting image of the father. He looked like the father's facial features. And everything, carrying out all the traditions, he did all the learning with the father, everything was Yosef. So just like Yankov Avinu had 12 Shvatim, so Yosef should have also had 12 Shvatim. So the Gemara says, but he lost his chus for 10 of the Shvatim, because he had a half a minute to sin. So because of the Shechvazer that was Yosef from the 10 fingers, we don't know whether it's to be taken literally or not literally. If it's to be taken literally, so it means some kind of a miracle. So he lost the right to have 10 of the 12 children, so he only had 2. So Hot Gibliben is Gibliben Menashe Ephraim. From all of the 12 that he should have had, that's how the Brisa says, Tanya, Hoya Roy Yosef Latzim Men Yud Beishvatim. He should have had 12 sons. Hidach Shiyotzim Yankov Aviv Shenemar. That Yosef carried over everything from Yankov. Shenemar Ela told us Yankov Yosef. Yosef had the same facial features and the same learning and the same intonation. The same Mahalach HaMachshava, everything the same. So he really should have had 12 children. So he lost 10. And those, so he only had 2, Menashe Ephraim. Nonetheless, the 10 sons that Binyamin had were sort of the 10 sons that Yosef should have had. All the names of the 10 sons of Binyamin had to do with Yosef HaTzadik. Rashi and Chumash quotes that. That when Binyamin, when they finally brought Binyamin down to Egypt, and he met Yosef, hadn't seen Binyamin, that was his full brother, and he said, "What's doing? You're married, you're single." He says, "Yeah, he's married, has 10 children, what are the names?" So he tells him all the names. He says, "I used to have a brother, and the brother got lost, and we don't know where he is, and all the 10 names of the children are based on my brother." And he tells him, all the 10 names, what is it? Bela Shenivla Ben Humus, he got lost by the goyim. Becher, he was the bechor le'imahoyah. He was the older than me. Ashbel, sheshvoy keil. The Rebbeinu Shlom kidnapped him. He took him out of Eretz Yisrael. Geiro, shegor bach sanyos. He lives in an abnormal place. He's living somewhere in Egypt or somewhere else. We don't know where in the world he is. Naaman was one of the children. Shenoyim b'yoseh. He was a very pleasant fellow. Echi v'rosh. Echi, I think. Echi achihu. He was my brother. V'roshihu. What's mupim, chupim, v'ard? Mupim. I missed his wedding, he missed my wedding, he's all the 10 sons. Va'ord, Shior Lebain Humasoilam. The Ikadiyam, another version has Va'ord is Miloshin Vered, Shepanov Domin Leveret. He had rosy cheeks. My brother had rosy cheeks. So all that, it sounds from the Gemara is if Binyamin really shouldn't have had any children. It's not funny, Gemara. Binyamin shouldn't have had any children at all. And the only reason why he had 10 is Bimkan Yosef. Yosef should have had 12 sons, Binyamin should have had 0. So how did they know this whole cheshbon? That's what the Mefarshim talk about. Why should Binyamin not have had any children? And the only, like the Medrash that says, David really should have died when he was born. But because the Merishan donated 70 years from his 1,000 years, so that's why David HaMelech lived for 7 years. A very strange Medrash. So this also, Binyamin shouldn't have had any children. But the 10 sons that were taken away from Yosef were given to Binyamin, and they were all Nikru, Al Shem Yosef. A very strange Agadatim.
He lost them all at the end.
Huh?
He lost them all at the end.
Ah, yeah, the whole Shevet was almost wiped out.
It looks like it came back.
Yeah. Very strange, I got it. Yeah. Amar Ebchebab, the Gemara is talking about that story with Yosef, so the Gemara finishes off. Amar Ebchebab, Bisho Shamala Parlias Buladech Liyarimishas Yodo. I'm appointing you as the prime minister, and no one has the right to do anything without your permission. So all of the politicians ask Paro, what are you doing? You take a man who was in prison all the years, a slave, and they bought him Omrit Tagnini Paro Evet Shalakocha Rabba Be'esrim Kesef. Says in the pasuk Vayim Karosa the Ishmaelim Be'esrim Kesef.
Says the brothers Manolim. They exchanged them for
yeah.
For
so it says in the Chumash that they paid next to nothing when they sold them to the Ishmaelim. So they paid next to nothing. So they said, this man is a lowlife. This man is a nothing. Sometimes they kidnap royalty, they kidnap the Ben HaMelech, and they hold up the king for ransom and he has to pay millions of dollars. This guy is a nothing. He's a nobody. A prisoner, nothing. So you make him Tamshaleo Aleinu, you put him in charge of the whole country. That doesn't make any sense. Omalahem, no. So Paro says, Ginuni Malchus Ani Raya Boy. I see elements. He has elements of Malchus. He knows to act in a regal fashion. So Omrullah, what do you mean? But he has no education. He doesn't know anything. He has no degree in anything. Omrullah, can you hear there? B'shivim Loshen? Does he know Chochmas Ha'ilam? Does he have any secular education? So that day, Bo Gavriel v'lindo shivim Loshen. So Gavriel came to teach him all the Chochmas Ha'ilam. But it was too much. He couldn't absorb so much. He has to absorb everything in one day. He has to pick up all the chachmas he's going to fahar him to see if he knows everything to get his PhD. So the malach changed his name. Before they said the hay was added when he controlled himself and he didn't violate the avera. That was before with Eishes Potiphar, and then they put him in prison. And this version says no, the hay was added that he should succeed in secular studies, that he should be matzliach in absorbing the shivim lashim.
But Shinema, he still have a kogomar.
He couldn't absorb all the shivim lashim. Lahavi kogomar, the malach saw segeit nishtarayin and kaparayin. So hosvelo sachas moshem al shalakodesh bochol velama. Then he was successful in learning his shivim lashim. Shinema, edis v'yesu samo. He didn't know the language. He didn't know the Shivim Lashem, but because the Malach added on the hay, so that's why Ulamachar, and the next day when they were faharing him to see whether Israel Malchus, Genuni Malchus, Kolishna, the Ishtoi Parabade, any language that Par would speak to him, Ishtoi means to speak, Ahadale. So he could answer back. He spoke Spanish, he spoke French, he spoke Yiddish, spoke all the language. So the Gemara said, Ishtoi Ihu Baloshna Kodesh. So Paro was preparing him to see if he knows all the Shivim Loshen, and he knew it because Gavriel added on the hay and he succeeded in mastering all the Shivim Loshen. So Yosef started to speak Loshna Kodesh. He was born in Eretz Yisrael, he was an Israeli. So he starts to speak Loshna Kodesh with Paro. Paro didn't. Par didn't understand what he was saying. So Par was afraid he's going to lose his position. I don't know. This guy knows a language that I don't know how to speak. Amalei, Agmeri, teach me the language. I'm a king. I have to know Agmeri v'loigama. He was hacking, clapping, and he couldn't pick up the Loshon HaKodesh. Amalei, so he was afraid that the people are going to know that he knows more Chochmas Olam than I know. So they'll make him the paro. So he said to him, Amale Ishtabli Dolemigalis, swear to me that you're not going to tell anybody that there's another language. You say you come from Eretz Canaan and everybody speaks Hebrew. I don't know how to speak Hebrew. So he swore to him, Ishtabalo. So he swore to him that he's not going to let anybody know. Then later, years later, Ki Amale, after Yankov Avin already came to Eretz Mitzrayim and he dies, so he wanted to go back to Eretz Canaan to bury Yankov Avinu. So he says, Ovihish Biani Lemor, my father made me swear that I'm going to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. He insisted he doesn't want to be buried in Chutz Lot. So Paro tells him, no problem, you can be Mataneda. Interesting. He knew that there's such a thing as Hatoros Nador. Koide Matantor. He knew there's an Indian of Hatoros Nador. We were talking before Yom Kippur, the Karoim didn't believe in Hatoros Nador. The Mishnah says in the end of the first Perek in Chagiga, Hatan Nador Porchem Boavir, Reilam Amesha Yismochu. There's no pasuk, and it's not even read in between the lines. The Mishnah says only parchim ba'avir is just a maser alochel Moshe Mitzrayim. Purely Torah Shabbat Pehir. The way the Gemara presents it, Paro knew that there's such a thing. Said no problem, go be Mataneder. I know his problem. Paro didn't want him to leave Mitzrayim, so he said zilichla hashuasach, go be Mataneder and shine Amalei. So Yosef says to him, if I'll be matan neder on that neder to my father, then I can be matan neder on the shvur that I took to you also. I swore to you I'm not going to tell anybody that you don't know Loshon HaKodesh. The ishtilinami adidoch, Should I be mata neder? Would you want me to be mata neder on that shavua too? My father doesn't want to be mata neder. My father wouldn't be happy I should be mata neder on the shavua that I took, that I'm going to bury him in Eretz Canaan. So would you be happy if I'd be mata neder on the shavua that I took to you? So I'm okay. I give in. That's all. Go, okay, take your father to Eretz Yisrael. Don't violate any shvuas and don't make any nedar. So that's how the Gemara says they added on min hashamayim, they added on the hay to his name, either to help him succeed in mastering the shivim loshen, or that they added it on when he was able to control his desire and he didn't violate the loisinov. Then the Gemara wants to know, when was the Yehuda? What does it mean? Yehuda was Mekadoshem Shemayim Beferhesi. When was that? So the Gemara says that that's not Yehuda the individual. The Gemara says that's Shevet Yehuda. Mahi de Tanya, there's a Braisa. So the Braisa has a Machlekes Satanaim. When they were holding by Yam Suf, so which was the first Shevet to jump in? So the first Tanya says, the Tanya, Hoyera Meiram, and Merflek Zogin, Shom de Yisrael ala Yam, O Yishvotim, Minatzchim Zezeh, the Shvotim were fighting with each other, who will have the right to jump into the Yam Suf first? Everyone wanted to demonstrate that they have a Muna in the Vuas, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says they should go into the Yam Suf and everything will be fine. So the Hoya Ashvatim and Atzchim Zem said they were arguing with each other. Zayman, Iyaritchila Layam, Zayman, Iyaritchila Layam. Each one was fighting to have this chus to go first. So Binyamin didn't stand on ceremony. They just jumped in and shined. Forget about who has this chus. Kofet Shifter Shal Binyamin, V'yarad Layam Tchila. Where do you see that Binyamin ran first? And Emma, it says in Tillim, Shal Binyamin Tsoy Roy Dame. What does it mean, Roy Dame? I'll take you Roy Dame, Ala Rad
Yom.
He was yarried into the Yom. So Yehuda was upset. Shevet Yehuda was upset. Yehuda is supposed to be the melech, and they're supposed to get the first crack at everything. Oh, you saw Yehuda rog me mosam. They were stoning them. They were angry at them. Why did steal the schus? I should have had the schus to go first. As it says in the next pasuk, so Yehuda rig mosam. So this Tana Rab Meir, understanding rig mosam, they were throwing. They weren't trying to kill him or anything, but they were upset. Why they stole the schus? The first crack at jumping into the Yam. But because Binyamin was the first one to jump in to demonstrate emunah, so lefichah zochem Binyamin atzarek v'nash behush bizachan legvura. That's why the shechina shoyra bechelka shel Binyamin. The Gemara says that Yerushalayim was a split city, half was Shevet Yehuda, half was Shevet Binyamin, and the whole mizbech had to be bechelka shel Binyamin, and part of the mizbech was missing. They saw it on the bottom because that was bechelka shel Yehuda. You're not allowed to have any chelik of the mizbech bechelka shel Yehuda. Shenemar. That's another medrash. Binyamin was the only one who didn't bow down because he wasn't born yet. Binyamin was the only one who didn't bow down. It's another medrash, right? Uvenk seif habshochen. So that's what Hoyer Rab Meir Rami does. Faleg Rab Meir Zogin, that the first shevet to jump into the Yam Suf was Binyamin, and Shevet Yehuda was upset. Amalah Rab Yehuda. So Rab Yehuda says, That's not the version that I heard. Look, Achoyim Maisa. Neither Rab Meir nor Rab Yehuda were there. Bishas Kriyas Yam Suf. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I have a different historical version. Nobody wanted to jump in. Everyone was afraid. Emuna, they believe in the voice, Moshe Rabbeinu, but they're afraid to jump into the Yamsa. Kofas Nachshem Ben Aminad, V'yarad Layam Tchila Shenem, so V'vuni B'chachash Ephraim, V'mirma Beis Yisrael, they're all a bunch of fakers. Everybody has a moon in the voice Moshe Rabbeinu, and everyone is afraid to jump into the Yam. Yehuda od rod im kel, and Yehushavit Yehuda was the first one who jumped in. V'olam befurish beKabbalah Hashen elakim kevo ma'im ad nafish tavait to be vein metzula vein ma'amod. He says, "Save me!" He was the water was going up to his nose; he was going to drown. And then in Hashemayim, the Kriyas Yam Suf occurred. And the pasuk continues: "Hatish tefeni shibor the smile, not tivlein metzula. Don't let me drown." And Bosa Shah, Hoya Moshe Marech Betfila, Moshe Rabbeinu was davening, that the Rabbani Shalom should fulfill his promise that Kriyas Yam is going to happen. Amalah Kodesh Bocha, what are you davening so long? Yidid, I tell you from Bayam, Vata Marech Betfila. Now you're not supposed to daven. Tell the rest of the Shvatim, Hares Matchal Ayam of Koeyu. Lift up your hand and tell all the Shvatim they should all go in. Mabiyad Eli, what should I do? So he says, "Dablo menei salvi yiso sham v'atohar mismat chaliyam and teis yotcha." Yehuda lasses bemshala b'Yisrael. Yehuda was zechet to malchus in the schus that they were the first shaved to jump in. Shnema hoisi yudu lekatchoy. Yisrael mamshalos matam hoisi yudu lekatchoy. Yisrael mamshalos mishum hayom rav ayonos. At the occasion of Kriyas Yamsuv, that's Rab Yudah's version. Occasion of Kriyas Yamsuv, shaved Yehuda were the first ones to jump in. So therefore, since they made the Kiddush Hashem, so they were zeichet to the Malchus. So the Gemara said that's what the other Tana was referring to before. He said that Yehuda has the whole Yudkei Vavkei in his name, because the whole Shevet Yehuda was Mekadosh Shem Shemayim Barabim on the occasion of Kriyas Yams. I don't know. Maybe he was Zeicha because Yaakov Avinu saw in him that he has more Amunah. I don't know. The whole Shevet, yeah, that's what it sounds like. The whole Shevet, you know. Yeah.
Why did Esther spoke the fire instead of calling the same, sir? I mean, she was there.
But it wasn't like the other one. It was Mamish Barabim in front of all the Shvatim. That, she was the only one who was there, and then she denied it later on. She said he came to attack her. So he was the only one who knew the truth. No one else knew it better.
Why did he refer to Yehoshua?
Yeah, I don't know. If he was Zeichet to the Hay, why'd they take off his degree? Yeah, I don't know. Why'd they take it away? I don't know. Don't know. There are more questions than there are answers. I don't know. Okay. You have in Parshas Bereishis, the Chet of the Eitz Hadas is described in a very interesting fashion. It says that the Eitz Hadas was Nechmad Lamaru Toiv Lamacho. It was very tasty and it was very appealing. What exactly was the Eitz Hadas? So the Gemara has different versions. There's nobody there. All the Tanaim were not there, and the Eitz Hadas and got in. So one Tana says that it was an Estrog, one Tana says that it was Chita, one Tana says that it was Taina, one Tana says that it was grapes, one Tana says grapes. It doesn't mean that this was the only grapevine. There were many other grapevines, there were many other Chitim, there were many other Tainim, there were many, many. This was, one tree was singled out. Was this one more delicious and more tasty and more good-looking than the others? All the trees are described as Nechman Lamar V'Tov L'Haskel. They're all described the same way. So what's happened to Ongesetz? Why did the Nochash succeed in convincing Chava that she should eat from the Eitz Hadas? So that's what the Beis HaLevi quotes from the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara says, L'Asilov HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to Shech the Malach HaMoves, and everyone's going to be crying. The Tzadikim are going to cry and the Rishayim are going to cry. Tzadikim Nidma Lahem Kahor. Tzadikim is going to, they're going to have the vision of the Yetzirah so difficult to withstand the Yetzirah. And how did we succeed all along that we were able to withstand the Yetzirah? And the Rishayim Nidlehem Kuchut Asaira. And by the Rishayim, it'll be such a slight thing, it'll be so insignificant, they'll be wondering at themselves, why were we all Nichshal? It was so easy, there's nothing there. How can it be that the same thing appears, the Yetzirah, to the Tzadikim appears as if it's a horror? So if it's a big mountain, then to the Rishonim it appears as if it's a chut asaira. So that's what the Beis HaLevi says, it's psychological, that the grass is always green on the other side. That's what the pasuk says, Maim genuvim yum toku. You think that if you drink the stolen water, it's going to taste better than the water that you have at home. The grass over there, is the grass that you have is just as green as the grass on the other side. So the tzaddikim who never violated the Averis, so they conjure up in their mind the whole image, wow, there must be such hanos olam hazeh if we would do this aver, that aver, because they never did the averis. So they imagine in their minds, must be kahar, must be some tremendous pleasure that you get. The Rishayim violated it, and they know that it's the same pleasure that you have. What Eishes Ish, the same with your own wife. Gigamba the money, the same, he's a wealthy man anyway. What's living takes another $100. Without the $100, he'll lead a happy life anyway. The Gemara says, Yalta. Yalta Eishes Ranachmin said, "Call my daughter Rachman and Sharon on Kavosi." The Gemara Chulin tells that everything that the Rabbanu Shalom prohibited us from eating.
The wife of Rabtalchum, the wife of Rabtalchum, of Rab Nachman.
Rab Nachman, Nachman's wife. So she said, "All the treif and macholim, there's a kosher meichel that tastes the same, and any avera that you want to do, there's a way to do it beheta gomer. Everything you get the same hanos olam hazeh." If you're Shem Shabbos and you're not a Shem Shabbos, you can lead the same happy life. And if you steal money from someone else and you don't steal money, you can lead a happy life without stealing, without cheating in business also. You can be successful in living and raise children. Everything will be exactly the same. So that's what the Rishoyim who have violated Averis Adem, they realize it's only a Chut Asar, it's a Ganesh Min Ganesh, there's nothing there. The Tzadikim, they imagine in their minds, is Nit Melehem Kahar. So that's what the Yetzahara, the Nochash, is convincing Chava that this Eitz Hadas is Tov LaHaskel and Nechmad LaMara. You look in the Pesukim Mechum, it says all the Eitzim, all the trees in Ganesh, were all Tov LaHaskel and Nechmad LaMara. They were all exactly the same. But that's the Chumash describes the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. This is a typical Chet. This is the Atzas HaYetzer to a typical person. This is what the Yetzer always convinces us. If you do be Yisr, your life will be so much, you'll be more successful and you'll be happier and you'll have more pleasure from Olam Hazeh. It's just not true. Everything is exactly the same. The Malbim writes in his commentary on Bereishis that the reason, what does this have to do with us? What is the story of the Yetzer HaDaas relevant for us? He says, no, the Torah has to write it. You should know what the typical Atzas HaYetzer is and how to watch out. The Satan is always going to try to convince you that you'll be happier and you'll get more Hanoas Olam Hazeh from sinning. And the truth of the matter is the all of life, everything is Nechmad LaHaskel B'Tov L'Mar. So we just have to chazer that in our minds to have emunah that it's really so.
I had an atzavua from my father of Hashul. Our great rabbi. Maybe for me.